even though it didn't go your way, you're still going to worship. Yeah, yeah. Amen. First Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles chapter 28. Boy, they, amen. Beginning at verse 20. First Chronicles chapter 28, beginning at verse 20 through 21. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and read 19. I, retrospect, would have included that. But First Chronicles chapter 28, verses 20 through 21. David also said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work." Be strong and courageous, and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. The divisions of the priests and Levites are ready for all the work on the temple of God, and every willing person skilled in any craft will help you in all the work. The officials and all the people will obey your every command. Do me a favor and find a few people and just say these words. Just do it. Just do it. You may be seated. Hallelujah and praise God. And now, God, afresh we confess we need you to move through this place, to grab us, hold us close, and look us in the eye. If you have to hold us by the collar so that we might be recommitted to focus, that we might be determined to do it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In a word, it's determination. And the one thing that we all have in common, if we're going to do what we need to do, if we're going to finish what we started, if we're going to get what God has for us, we have to be determined. Do me a favor, and I won't bother you a whole lot. Just tell your neighbor, be determined. If they didn't speak to you, speak to the other neighbor. Be determined. In fact, we're sitting in a room of witnesses. I'm looking at someone who just had surgery on their back, but they decided to push on anyway, and they're sitting in worship today. There's a sister here today who had breast cancer, but after chemotherapy, after going through surgery, after suffering and pushing through, she's well and here today. There's a parent here who, despite the looks, the comments, the insults, kept raising the child until the child became an adult, and now that child is doing well. Someone here who they know what it is to have to sleep in a car or have to hold a notice in the hand that says that you've been evicted and they don't have any options. But they're doing well today, not because they were lucky or chances fell on the right end, right side, but they decided that they were determined to see what the end would be. For those of you who know me, you know I love history, and my favorite picture of determination, I've shared it before, is Harriet Tubman. I like Harriet Tubman because she had every excuse not to do what she did, but she did it anyway. When the dogs were chasing her down and she had internal motivation, but those she were leading, they did not have internal motivation, so she gave them external motivation, and it was a shotgun. She said, "If you stop, I'll shoot. Run on." Or though she frequently passed out because she was hit on the head with iron as a child, she decided that she would run until she passed out. Truth is, she was a preacher, so I know in her head and her heart she heard the words, Philippians chapter 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When she had to cross the waters, the snake infested, even alligator infested waters, I heard her in my heart saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. She did it on so many occasions. She didn't do it one time or two times or three times. I can imagine even on the 19th time, seeing the sign that said reward, dead or alive, $300. And she said, I'm going to go back and get some more. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is determination. And all of us here today have to decide if we're going to be used by God, if we're going to do what God wants us to do to make it through this season, we have to be determined. Regardless of your age, regardless of your race, regardless of your wealth, regardless of whatever your social economic status is, if you decide that you're going to be determined, then doctors will have to say, I didn't think so, but you made it. You're going to be all right. The truth is, all of us, okay, I like his name. His name is Darius Simmons. You may have seen Darius Simmons because Darius Simmons was born different than other folk. Darius Simmons was born with one arm and a half. He was born with one arm and a half, and in fact, he was only born with four fingers. And because Darius Simmons is so determined, he decided, look, I may not be like others, but I'm gifted. So he taught himself to play the piano. Let me remind you, he has one and a half arm and four fingers. So he had to train himself to reach the entire keyboard with four fingers. Now, I can't play the piano well with 10 fingers, but with four fingers, he's playing in Carnegie Hall because this young, determined Darius Simmons decided, I won't be stopped. I can't be stopped. Now, I don't know what your handicap, your shortcoming, your situation is, your finances are, your deficit is, your hold back, your block, your pause, your steal. I don't know if a parent wasn't there or if a spouse mistreated you or if a supervisor was unkind to you or if somebody gave you a bad look when you walked in the sanctuary. But I do know this. We've got to decide to be determined because until we are determined, we won't achieve everything God has for us. But when we decide that we won't be distracted, that we won't be denied, that we won't be deterred, that we won't be turned away, then God says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man the things I have for you. God says, you got to be determined. Amen. That's the challenge for us all today. Not that we'll start hard and push start strong and that we'll start excited, but that we will say, even now I'm determined. Even now, even though I don't like the president, even though I don't like the situation, even though I don't like the economics, even though I don't like some of these folks, I am determined. Whatever it is around you, whatever it is they said to you, you got to decide that it's not them, it's not the circumstances, but you are determined. I won't be stopped. I can't be stopped. That's determination. And that's what this text is tailored to teach us, that God says, if we're going to build the church, we have to be determined. Now, please let me get your attention because I'm not talking about constructing the physical building. Praise God. God, you already did that. To God be the glory. But I'm talking about building the kingdom, or another word, building the body. Why don't you say that? Build the body. Come on, you got to say it. Build the body. Yeah, God is calling us to be committed to, determined to, decided to build the body. And in this text, I believe it's tailored to teach us how we build this body, how God wants all of us, not just some of us, not just some officers, not just some preachers, not just the pastor, but he wants you. I don't know if you remember that sign, that military sign, Uncle Sam wants you. God, your father, wants you to be part of building this body. It's up to you to see what the end's going to be. It's up to you to do your part. It's up to you to step in and stand out. It's up to you to stretch out and do more than you thought you could do for the kingdom of God to build the body. When we build the body, God gets the glory. When we build the body, souls are saved. When we build the bodies, people are made healthy and strong. When we build the body, children get educated. When we build the body, marriages are better. When we build the body, singles are encouraged and reminded that they've been called. When we we build the body, God gets all the glory. That's what this text is tailored to teach us, because this text tells the story of a father named David. The father named David had a passion in his heart to bless the Lord. He had a passion in his heart to bless the Lord. And I just want to tell you, when you know the Lord, you will love the Lord. And when you love the Lord, you will serve the Lord. Let me say that again. When you know the Lord, to know him is to love him, and to love him is to serve him. That's why your mama served in the church. That's why your uncle served in the church. That's why you and I come and we serve in God's church, is because we know God. It's not the choir. It's not the preacher. It's not the deacon. It's I know God. And because I know God, I love God. God's been too good for me to stay home. God's been too good for me to throw up my feet and say I'm mad at so-and-so and this and that. I'm determined. I'm committed because God's watched over me because God's made way for me. Even when the pastor says something stupid, I'm still going to go to worship. I'm still going to do my part because God has been good to me. That's the truth. When you have a personal relationship with the Lord, when you really know that it's been the Lord who's watched over you, and the Lord who kept you, and the Lord who called you, and the Lord who made way for you. Look, deacons, I praise God for the pastor who ordained you. I praise God for the pastor who loved on you and led you. But you know what? The pastor didn't call you. God called you. Amen. And amen. And that's why I'll preach anywhere, and I'll preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I'll preach to folk who may not even say amen. You know why? Because at the end of the day, I'm preaching to God. Yeah. I'm preaching to the God who called me. Amen. Let me get back to my text. So David is here, and David had a desire to build the temple. It was in his heart. It was his passion to build the temple. In fact, he even asked God through the prophet. He said, Prophet Nathan, can I go ahead and build the temple? Prophet said, cool, do what is in your heart to do. But the prophet had to come back the very next day and say, look, man, I apologize, but you're not the one. You're not the one to build the temple. And so David could have been bitter. Mm-hmm. David could have been mad. He could have been the one who was talking about folk cussing, spitting, acting up, looking like he was baptized in pickle juice, having an attitude, rolling his head, rolling his neck. But he didn't do that. David said, if I can't build the temple, here's what I'll do. I'll make way. I'll make provisions. I'll set it up so my son can build the temple. If I can't do it myself, I'll help somebody else. That ought to be your testimony. Even when God says no to you, even when God says you can't get that Mercedes, amen, amen. You can't get that woman, amen. You can't get that married man. That's all right. When God says no to you, you ought to say to God, what can I do? And then you ought to do what you can do with all your might. Amen. That's what David decided to do. So when we meet David, David is older. David has seen a lot. He's in the third trimester of life. Now, he doesn't have the same strength he had before, but he has a whole lot more wisdom. He's seen the grace of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God. He's fallen short with Bathsheba and in a couple other ways, but here he knows that God is a keeper. And even though he messed up, God kept holding him up. So now he's here and he's giving a word of charge, a word of encouragement, a testimony to these young folk. He says, now look, son. He says, I got to tell you, God, my God, is a good God. And now look, don't be discouraged, because he will not forsake you. He will not fail you. I can pause right there and come close to somebody who's discouraged right now. Somebody who didn't want to come to worship today. Somebody who's not feeling the sermon. Let me talk to you. Let me whisper in your ear, God won't fail you. Yeah, I'll say it again. God won't fail you. God, others might fail you. In fact, others will fail you. Others will fall short. But God won't fail you. God will make sure that you're taken care of. God will make sure that you have all you need. When others leave you high and dry, that's when God says, now let me show up and do my handiwork. God will take. There's somebody here who can testify, because on your job, they've been messing with you. They've been trying to get you. They've been lying on you. They've been messing up your name. They've been talking about you. And it's no longer private, but now it's public. But look, has God kept you? Yes, he has. Has God made ways for you? Yes, he has. Is God still good? Yes, he is. Is God still on the throne? Yes, he is. And you can testify, despite the enemy, God's been good to you. So he says, look, this is what David says. Look, Solomon, be strong and courageous. If I had time, I'd give you the historical roots of these words because it comes from Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous. And he says this because he knows the work in front of him is a great work. He says, you got something hard in front of you. I know it's not easy. I know it's arduous. I know it's difficult. I know others aren't on your side all the time. But look, be strong and courageous. And he says, do the work. And I want to anchor right there because that's what God is calling for all of us. He's calling for us to do the work. He says, in a real sense, just do it. And the first reason that he gives to his son Solomon, and I believe God gives to us to do God's work, here it is. The first reason is because God has a plan. Okay, y'all missed that. Y'all didn't shout on that. Let me explain. See, every now and then, we get fixated on our plans. We plan for things to go this way. I plan by this time to be a millionaire, or I plan by this time to be here and to be 20 pounds lighter and to do this and do that and this. And we got all our plans because we wrote our plans, but God has greater plans, and God's plans are perfect. I wish I could read it to you. It's in verse 19. In verse 19, it says that David received the plan. And he understood it. And this is the idea. You got to get this. This is the idea that when you understand that God's plan is perfect, and that even though you may not like the situation, you may not understand the situation, because it's in God's plan, everything's going to be all right. You may have diabetes. You're saying to yourself, how in the world could I get diabetes? I've lived fairly healthy. I don't understand how I got cancer. God has a plan. And don't trip on the plan, because God is the master planner. And his plan never fails. His plan is always good. In fact, he declares that for us in Jeremiah. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, aka to hook you up, to help you out, to bless your world and not to harm you. I got plans, and my plans are good. Now, when you understand that, when they walk out on you, you can cheer and praise God and thank God. When you get the layoff notice, God's getting ready to give you a promotion. God has a plan. Even though you can't understand it, even though you can't control it, even though you can't mastermind it, because you know God has a plan, everything will be all right. Every now and then I get frustrated. I wonder, God, why is things going this way? God, I thought my mother would be here to help me with my children. That was part of the plan. You didn't tell me she was going to have Alzheimer's. What's up, God? I didn't expect that. But look, God has it all part of his plan. Now, I don't know how and I don't know when, but I do know that he said all things still work together for good for those who love the Lord. And I love the Lord. And for those who are called according to his purpose. So I don't know what your situation is. I do know this, that God's plan is good. Because God is good, so you can trust God's plan. He said, look, and I understand it. Now, you got to go back and look at that. This is actually verse 19, so look it up when you get home if you don't have a Bible. Amen, amen. Look, he says in verse 19, and I understood God's plan. Now, he said, I understood God's plan, what that really means is God has a plan. While I don't know all the twists and turns, I do see the blessing at the end. Okay, wake your neighbor up. Look, it's the idea. You don't always know how he's going to get you there, but you do know he's got you and he will get you there. I don't know if you've ever been in a plane, and every now and then you might be in a plane and the pilot might make an announcement. He'll say, look, we have some turbulence, so I'm going to have to take us to a higher altitude. Hold on, put your seatbelt on. And you don't understand everything the pilot is doing, but you do know the pilot's in the cockpit and you do know the pilot's in charge. So you just trust the pilot. Well, God says to us every now and then, you don't know how I'm going to get you to where I'm going to get you, but I am going to get you there. Amen. I'm going to get you there. And that's always saying that God has a plan for your life, and you ought to hold on to that plan. No matter what happens, no matter what things feel like, no matter what things look like, no matter how bad it is, hold on to the plan. And I hear you saying, but Rev, I've been holding on a long time. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's the discipline of faith. Did you know that? The discipline of faith is waiting. How long can you wait for that wife? How long can you wait for that husband? How long can you wait for that promotion? How long can you wait for that breakthrough? Y'all not shouting now, I'm shouting for you. But if you wait on the Lord, the Lord says, I got you. First, it's the plan. And I'm going to text. First, it's the plan. It's the plan. I need you to know that God has a perfect plan. But that's not all. Look at the text. The text goes on to say, now in verse 21, it says, the divisions of the priests, The Levites are ready for all the work on the temple of God. And every willing person, let me go back right there. And every willing person, I'm going to read it one time. And every willing person skilled in any craft. Look, Deacon, let me tell you the truth. Every now and then we like to believe that success happens when everybody is on board, when every single person is participating, when everybody says, I'm going to do my gift of obedience, when everybody says, you're doing a good job, when everybody is on board. But this text doesn't teach us that. It says, when the willing people. God has a plan, but God also has a people. God has a plan, but God also has a people. And God says, don't worry about the ones that aren't for you. Don't worry about that person that not with you. Don't worry about the person who doesn't show up to your prayer meeting. That's all right. Don't worry about the person who doesn't believe in your fitness ministry or your Spanish ministry or your chess ministry. You work with the willing people, because I got some willing people who can make it happen. God says, don't wait around, but work with the willing people, because I'll set it up and I'll send folk who are willing to make it work. I'll say, okay, let me testify. True testimony. My mom at this point was divorced. She was divorced, but she loved the church. She really did. She was just a church fanatic. I mean, my mother loved the church. Amen. She worked night and day. She literally had a day job and a night job. Amen. She made sure I made it to church on the church bus. And a short guy named Buster used to pick us up. He would beep twice and we were expected to be on the van. Well, I remember one year, they said, look, we won't be able to go on the youth trip this year. It's too expensive. Because they were a budgeting church, they understood this far in advance. My mother didn't like that. She was disappointed. So she said, God, I'm going to pay for every child in the church, every church about this size, every child in the church. I'm going to pay for every child in the church to go on the trip. This is what she told God. God, show me a way. God, show me a way. And God gave her a vision. She met with the pastor. She got a few deacons on board. And in Sacramento, California, She started a firework stand, and the firework stand did so well, we had $25,000 plus to send every child on the trip. She made it happen not because she was brilliant, not because she was wealthy. She had just gotten a divorce, but she made it happen because she was willing. Can I talk to you for a moment? God says, I'm not trying to get everybody who's got everything. I'm trying to get those who are willing, because if you are willing, God will make you able. Amen. Somebody missed that. Because God says, I'm not looking for the person who's perfect. I'm not looking for the person who doesn't have a track record. I'm not looking for the person who has 4 PhDs. I'm looking for anybody and everybody. I'm looking for anybody. If you got 4 PhDs and you're willing, God can use you too. I'm looking for anybody who is willing. Look at the text. It says willing, and it says, from the willing, I will get any craft. In fact, if you go on to read the story of the building of the temple, then you understand, in fact, it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, that God sent a guy named Hiram. God sent a guy named Hiram from Tyre to help out Solomon. People were coming from all around the world to make this thing work. And all I'm trying to say to you is, God is going to send folk from all around the world to make this thing work. God will send people from the north, the east, the south, and the west. Now I'm talking particularly about Shiloh, that this is God's church, and God knows what we need, and God knows where we are, and God knows what time it is, and he will send somebody. If he got to send them from Africa, he'll send somebody. This is his Wakanda, and he's going to take care of his people. God has a plan. God has a plan, but he also has a people. God has a plan, and he also has a people. As I prepare to take my seat, you need to know that God had already made provision. If you read the story, then you understand that David spent the last trimester of his life setting aside gold. In fact, in this chapter, it mentions gold 11 times. 11 times, God had put it on David's heart to make sure that everything was set aside so that Solomon would be set up. And I want to talk to you. I want to talk to Shiloh, that God has set some stuff aside to make sure that you've been set up. God God has made sure that you're going to be blessed. God has made sure that the enemy can't stop you, that the enemy can't block you. God has put a ram in the bush to make sure you're going to be all right. I remember my first corporate job. My first corporate job was with the state of California, and I worked for the Department of Escheatment. Long story short, whenever money was lost or someone had money and they didn't keep track of it, it would go to the state of California. And so what I was supposed to do is to tell people that they received or they actually had money. That was my job. I remember my boss was hateful. She was just mean. She was just nasty. She was nefarious. She was evil. She was mean to me. And I remember telling her, don't come in early. You stay home. Just mistreat me. And so finally, I would have such a good time telling people, I just called to let you know that with the state of California, Sacramento, California, that your claim number is such and such. I'm in the office of such and such. And you can claim your money. This money was deposited by this corporation. You can claim it here. Here's how you claim it. I was always happy and excited. And she got mad because I was happy and excited. You know, miserable people don't like happy people. But I've decided to make miserable people more miserable because I'm still going to be happy. Amen. Amen. My blood type is B positive, and that's what I'm going to be. Amen. So I remember she said, you know what? I'll show you. She put me on the microfilm. Now, I don't know if you remember what microfilm is. It was this little device that had a light and a little bit of film. And she said, this was common. Everybody had to do it for about 1 hour. But she said, I'm going to change the department practice. The only person who will have to look up things on microfilm is Hodari Hamilton. So for 8 hours a day, I would look at the microfilm. And I got quite tired. It wasn't fair. It was hurting my feelings. And I remember how I got the job. I got the job because I was in church one day. And one of my members of the church was a friend of mine. So I said to her, I said, look, I really thank you for this job. Been there about 6-7 months. Things going well. But can I talk to you for a moment? Do you know I do microfilm all day long? And she said, oh, you do, Hodari? Thank you for telling me that, little Rev. I appreciate that. The next day I came into work. The lady looked at me and she said, come sit at your desk. She said, that wasn't fair what you did to me. Did you know who she is? She's the vice president of this department. She's in charge of everything. She could get me fired just by looking at me wrong. Why would you do that to me? You had to do was to, she was crying and she was explaining to me how sorry she was and how I didn't have to do it and how things had suddenly turned around. Look, here's all I'm trying to say is God has put people in place. God has put stuff in place. God knows what he's doing and he knows where you are. Just because you're in a dark room doesn't mean he's not taking care of you. He's really trying to develop you and bless you. God got somebody who's going to snatch you out and help you out and hook you up. God is faithful. God is large and in charge. So the end of this text really teaches us that, yes, we all know God has a plan. Yes, we all know God has a people. Yes, we all know that my God shall supply our needs according to his riches and glory. So now what do we need to do? Just do the doggone thing. Just decide that you're going to do what God has called you to. Just decide that you're going to show up and stand at your post. Just decide that you won't quit, but you'll keep on leading. Keep on loving and keep on serving. Just decide that Cybo matters to you. Just decide that ushering is significant. Just decide that you are a deacon for a reason. God has called you. Just decide that you're a nurse to help somebody, to show somebody. Just decide that God has put me here. I know what I need to do. Nobody needs to tell me. I'm on my task. I'm on my calling. I'm on my path. I know God's called me. God called me to this. I'm going to do this work. I won't quit. I can't quit. I can't stop. I won't be stopped. Do what God has called you to do. God's called you to it. God's made you for it. God has equipped you. Now do it. Do it. Do it till you're satisfied. Come on, let's stand to our feet. The gospel has been preached. We know what we need to do. We just got to decide to be determined enough to do it. To do it. To do it. We're standing to our feet because first, I want to declare that you know that you need God. Immanuel Kant calls it the God-shaped void. You know that you need someone in your life to lead your life, to hold your life, to sustain your life. You know that you're not good enough to be God, and you're not God enough to be good. So we need somebody And if you don't know who he is, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He can help you. He can heal you. He can hold you. He is Jesus. He can hold you even when you want to let go of him. He'll keep you. Even when you leave him, he's a keeper. It's called salvation. If you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to argue with you. You need the Savior. You need God. You need the Savior. Jesus, who is the Christ. There's no other one. There's no other way. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the bread. He said, I am the sustainer. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we want to offer Christ to you. That's salvation. That's salvation. But not only for salvation, if you're here today and you're not absolutely connected to a church, one where you are going and growing, one where people ask you, where you been if you haven't been? If you don't have a church